this belief. Through many dangers more than snares, I have already come. His grace has brought me saved. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we know less day to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Praise God, 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 praise God. Praise God, praise God. Amen. Amen, amen. We'll change all the songs now. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, right and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living,
will you?
Thank you for
you singing unto him now.
Lord, prepare me to be your sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true,
amen,
with thanksgiving.
That's a commitment.
A living sanctuary for
you. Amen. Amen. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like to turn in your scripture, turn to Daniel 9, where we've been reading. And you can also turn Daniel 9, 24, and turn to Numbers 16. Numbers 16, starting with verse 41. We had a wonderful time last night in the fellowship meeting, and you that missed it, I hope you'll listen to the tapes and all of the service, because we had a good time in the Lord. I thought Brother Kershane brought a very timely message and very good to, you know, all of us, and to, you know, to furtherment of the gospel and believing and walking on with the Lord. And we appreciate him. And I appreciate all of the brothers, the sisters, everything that was done to provide the meal for everything last night and all. And everybody really enjoyed it, and everybody went away saying they were full, so we appreciate it. Now, the sisters have said that we have enough food to feed everybody today, you know, on the hot dogs and the hamburgers. But they're asking you to please get one hot dog and one hamburger. Then, if there's any left, there's plenty to be eat probably, but do it that way, because some people run down and say, well, I want two hot dogs. And the other one say, I want two hamburgers or whatever. First thing you do, you're going to run out of one of them. You know, so just, you know, make sure that you get the one hot dog, one hamburger, then you come out and get what you want to after everything's left and all like that. So just remember that. Also, now be much in prayer. The young people that of the church are going to take the song service this afternoon. You know, we're looking forward to that and all, and in the Lord, and because we want to use them and, you know, and get everybody that we can to be prepared, because these are our future. If time continues, they will be the song leaders, the musicians, the preachers, the things of the day to come. Because we're not saying, well, it's too late, you know. No, no, we're making everything prepared for a later time, and we believe it, and we, you know, we want the youth to have their part. So remember that. And Wade, as I said, is over at Brother Tim Calhoun's preaching for him today, so remember them. They'll be on their way back. Also, I'm announcing ahead of time where you can make your arrangements and things. We are going to have an Easter meeting, Easter weekend meeting here at the church. It was maybe at other places, but we had to cancel out and all. But it will be here at the church. It'll be on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And the Saturday of that will be the fellowship meeting, so we'll be having it here. It's in April, so just remember that. And Brother Keith Reed will be here preaching for us for the whole part of the series of Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So we'll just keep these things in mind. Announce it to everybody. We had other plans that were partially announced, but we've had to change that because of they backed out and couldn't come this way. So, you know, we will have our own services and time in the Lord. But I think that's all of the announcements. Have I missed anything? No, we need to announce. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for your love and grace. We thank you for, Lord, the opportunity to be able to stand before the purchase of your blood, to be able to speak to a portion of the body of Christ this morning. We count that a great privilege, a great opportunity. And Father, how much more sincere would we be in our hearts to realize that we hold within our hands the very word of the living God, that we can speak to the people, and Lord, that it can work among us and make an atonement for us and do what is needed in our hearts and lives. We ask you to bless each one. Bless Wade Dyer as he's ministering this morning for Brother Calhoun, and then bless him on the way home this evening, and just let your love be made manifest in each one of us. Forgive us when we fail you, because we know we do. Cover us by the blood and keep us in Jesus' name. Amen. Daniel 9:24. We've been reading that because we're taking the things after finishing the series basically to Israel. We're taking the things, you know, that of speaking to Israel to apply it to ourselves. And, you know, and to see, because they spoke of us. What they have is speaking of what's among us today. And we appreciate that. All right. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Now we'll be dealing this morning with make reconciliation for iniquity. Let's turn over to Numbers 16. We'll begin reading at verse 41. Numbers 16, verse 41. Now the background for this is that when Dathan and Korah came, while you're turning, you know, Dathan and Korah came, and we're spiritual also, you know, and all, and the fire came down and destroyed the ministers, you know, off of the, consumed them, and the people were killed, and, you know, then the Lord changed things and started talking to them about it, and they used the censers. As I said one time before, they didn't even throw away their censers, because they used them to, in the building in verse 38, you know, they used them and hallowed those, because they were, and he took the censers, verse 39, and they were burnt and offered and were made broad plates for a covering of the altar, and it become, see, like a memorial, or in other words, an understanding. Now verse 41. Now watch, after even killing, I forgot how many thousand of people died, but then it was also the 250 priests. Look at verse 41. But on the morrow, in other words, the next day, now, you see a great thing that God has done to back up Moses' word. But look, but on the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, "Ye have killed the people of the Lord." Now that really angered God, because look what he done. And it came to pass when the congregation were gathered together against Moses and Aaron, that they looked toward the tabernacle of the congregation, and behold, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord appeared. You know, they was probably standing there with their chest out, "Boy, we straightened out Moses and them. God come down and vindicate us." You know. Moses and Aaron came before the tabernacle of the congregation, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, "Get you up from among this congregation, that I may consume them as in a moment." And they fell on their faces. If it hadn't have been for Moses and Aaron, what would have took place? Alright? Moses, see, on his face now, said unto Aaron, "Take a censer and put fire thereon from off the altar, and put on incense, and go quickly unto the congregation and make an atonement for them, for there is wrath gone out from the Lord, the plague is begun." And Aaron took as Moses commanded and ran into the midst of the congregation, and behold, the plague was begun upon the people, and he put on incense and made an atonement for the people, and he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. I said, keep in mind the background part, because all that is there in the Bible of Israel is types and shadows to the bride of Jesus Christ, the word that we can see. All right. Now, we've been speaking for, this is message 15 we're on, but we've been speaking about three services now, taking the things we took, the things from Daniel that were there, and coming up to where we are, and we spoke on finish the transgression to make an end of sin. And now we're going to talk about the making reconciliation for iniquity. To make reconciliation for iniquity. That's the title of the message, but it'd be number 15 on the 70 weeks of Daniel. Because what we're doing is we're looking at what happened to them, or does happen to them, and comparing it to what is happening to us. Now, not what will happen to us, or just what has happened to us, but to compare what is happening to us. Because now is when we must realize that our transgressions are finished. Now is when we must realize that our sins are gone. Not tomorrow. Not putting it off some other day. We'll come to that, you know. Or even to totally just look back. We talk about Calvary, and that's true. But I'm talking about Calvary being revealed to you now. I wasn't there at Calvary. You know. But here I am now. The only part of me that I could credit at Calvary is the eternal life that was given me by the new birth. That was in Christ at Calvary. Not us back there as people. But see, we went through these things and trying to cover what would take place to Israel, and showing that shows us what is now taking place. Now, I've made this statement over and over, and I'll keep making it through the messages, because I'm trying to get it embedded into our mind. God is not coming to Israel, over there in the tribulation. He doesn't come to Israel to condemn. Sure, he will tell them what they missed, but he doesn't come to condemn. He's coming to reveal that it is already gone. He's coming to reveal Calvary to them. He's coming to bring Calvary from a 2,000 years ago happening down to a present time experience unto them. And that's what I'm trying to get you and me to see. We talk about the coming of the Lord. Well, if the Lord has come, then why does he come? He comes to reveal what that he has already done. All right? He comes to make manifest what he has already done. He comes to bring it to a reality of not tomorrow, not a future rapture or something or his coming, and not a past as leaning upon the past. The past is for your benefit in the basis of faith, because you can look back. See, as David said, the God in me that killed the bear, the lion, and that was just taking care of my daddy's natural sheep, how much more would he be with me against this Philistine, you know? See, but his past was good to bring him a faith, but yet he had to face the Goliath that day. And he didn't say, now, Goliath, you wait till tomorrow and I'll go pray. You know, I'll go ask God what he wants me to do. You know. No, he didn't do it. He said, I'll do it right now.
Right.
Well, see, we've got to realize and get away from the past and get away from the future and begin to see what's taking place now. Because
right.
If we talk about the coming of the Lord, then he has come to reveal that our transgressions was finished at Calvary, but they must be applied. Because to Israel, see, their transgressions were gone. But he comes to apply that because it wasn't applied back there to them. And it wasn't applied to the first church age, the second church age, or the book of Acts, of coming to change a body and to take us in a rapture. It was applied for the day and the hour that they were living and what they had to have need of. But it's now coming to where that it's not to be just spoken of, but to be applied. I mean, that's why the prophet said the token never come into existence till the evening time. Then turned right around and said the token came on the day of Pentecost in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He wasn't contradictory. He wasn't making a slip of the tongue. He was telling it like it was. See? Moses and them had the token, as I said the other day. They had it there with them. They were offering the blood. They were doing those things. But, you know, the high priest and things. See? God had already applied that back in the old, there in the garden, even with the lambs and things. That was the blood. But Moses said, now take this and do something with it in your day. And see, that's what we've got to do. We've had times and ages and things, but now it's to, see, for God to come on the scene now, present tense to you and me, alright? See, then it's not in the coming of the Lord, he's not coming to reveal, to condemn. He's not coming to show how bad we are. Just as I covered, and I'll keep covering it over and over, Joseph was sold into slavery, but when they come to him, he wasn't ready to kill them. He actually put them into the plan.
Right.
He actually gave them recognition in the plan that without them, it would have not been made possible to save the world.
Amen.
All right? But as I said, they didn't go away. Oh, bless God, we wouldn't too much out of the will of the Lord to start with. No. No, they knew every second of their life that they stood close to a knife blade. And that man could change his mind any time.
Right.
See, that's living in your life then, all right? We'll try to get on more this afternoon on something. But now, what are we doing? See, as I said, God is not coming to tell us he's finished our transgressions. I mean, you know, back there of Calvary, that's applying that. He's not coming to say that I've made an end of your sins of this the Calvary experience. He's coming to make Calvary revealed today to you and I.
Right.
Right now, this day, the day is the day of salvation, the Bible says.
Right.
Yeah, I think that's Jonah 2:9, isn't it? Or today, right now. See, we don't look to the future, we don't look to the past. We live in the present tense. That's why the name I am is ever present for eternity.
Right.
Yeah. When Jesus said, I am the resurrection, he didn't say I was or will be. He didn't say, at Calvary, I'll take care of that. No, he said, I am the resurrection. Dead, come up. Because he had a present tense experience. He lived in the presence. You know, right now. All right? Now, see, now today we want to talk about how that reconciliation is to be made known in the last days. Revealed reconciliation for iniquity. Huh? Now, would you consider why I read what I did? Huh? The people in their ignorance, one day after seeing 250 priests going down in a hole, and thousands of them dying by the fire, and thousands of them dying because the earth opened up and swallowed them up. See? 24 hours later, they all gather back. Moses and Aaron, you killed the people of God. Now that's hard to consider. But it's like we've been talking about. I don't want to get on because I want to get on more this evening. That we've been talking about at home and last night and different things. And you know how I express things. You go do something wrong, and immediately upon doing that wrong or saying that, you know, you feel condemned. All right, immediately you should say, "Forgive me." Let that be covered. Get that out of the way. Don't let me entertain thoughts. 24 hours later, you're already starting a case. Most of the time, it don't wait that long. You'll start a case. Well, really, I wasn't as bad as I thought it was. It was Aaron's fault. He put his foot out there and I stomped it. He shouldn't have put his foot out there. See, we start building our own case. You know what that turns out to be? Oh, thank you. Somebody said it, didn't they? Iniquity. Because what is iniquity? The prophet said, knowing to do good and won't do it. Well, Brother Dale, you mean Christians have iniquity? You look at the pyramid right behind me and you'll find in that it says, you know, temperance, patience. The prophet said, now, not your uncontrollable temper, but the fact that you have a temper and a problem. Little problem, isn't it? Temperance. All right? 24 hours after seeing all this great manifestation, the children of Israel are once again motivated by the devil to go against God and his prophet. Because Moses was God to Israel, right? Aaron was his prophet. Looks like they'd have seen something there, but no. Looks like we'd see something sometimes like that instead of letting it be entertained. But yet we'll build our own case. Very easy to do, isn't it? Of course, I know you're not guilty of it. Yeah, I know that. I know you're not guilty of it. All right. But iniquity is a gross injustice. It's a wickedness. It's a violation of right or duty. That the prophet said it's knowing to do good, but won't do it. David said, if I hold iniquity in my heart, God won't hear me. Iniquity means, the word iniquity from the original means uneven. You know, uneven is what it means. In other words, it's not even. You know, you go down the road and you see this sign said uneven pavement. You know, what are you expecting? A bump. Why? Because you're going from one level to the other. It's uneven. So uneven is not straight. It's not the truth. Uneven is partial truth. You understand what I'm trying to get you to look at? Uneven? As a gross injustice. Alright? Now we'll get to reconciliation in a little bit, but I just want you to think about it. Now, many of you heard me preach in 82 and 83, and they was about, I don't know, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 sermons that I preached on iniquity. The first few services was on iniquity. Because we are not the mystery of iniquity. But we're a product of iniquity. See? That's our trouble. The psalmist said, in iniquity, I was conceived. In an unjust or wrong way. Alright? See, iniquity. As I said, David said, if I hold iniquity, God won't hear me. But that's where people can't get it straight, because you say, Brother Branham said that God won't hear a short-haired woman. But then you say, but I know somebody, so-and-so, a grandmama, you know, mama, or somebody got their prayers answered, Brother Dale, and their hair was short. You're not getting it. You're not understanding what he's saying. Anointed ones do those things. God is doing it, but he's not hearing their prayers in the form of salvation. Do you get what he's saying? He's not hearing their prayers in the form of salvation. Their salvation, it's not doing any good what they're praying in the form of salvation. It may be doing good in the form of gifts and signs and wonders. See? Alright? Now, but think about iniquity. We say, we don't have any iniquity, Brother Dave. Now, if we do anything wrong today, we know better to do it, don't we? Right? And the prophet said iniquity was knowing to do good and won't do it. Or, in other words, knowing not to do bad. You know, knowing to not do the bad and doing it. So that's what's hard to get people to see of the true Christian life. To try to get us away from condemnation. Alright? Now, they said we've been taking these things from the 70 weeks of Daniel that we covered that God would and did, and would, you know, and will. He will come to Israel and show them that all of these things are done. Not to beat them over the head and condemn them, but to show that it's done. He brings them a revelation of Calvary, but he brings it present tense. Now, can I illustrate it without being offensive? The Baptists, you talk to them very long. Go ask and see. You talk to them very long about something, and they'll say, I know I'm saved. And you keep narrowing it down, you know, to how, and they'll say, because Jesus Christ died on the cross. And he come on death Pentecost. Well, now we know that's true. But unless that becomes personal to you and I, it is not salvation to us. All right? See, then we still have problems in our lives. We still have iniquity. All right? There's got to be a way to bring reconciliation. As I'll get to it more this afternoon, there is no way, no way. I wish I could preach like others try to preach. There is no way for you to bring the human mind under control to the Spirit as people are trying to teach it. There is no such thing as entire sanctification. That's the old doctrine of entire sanctification. Like I told them this morning, we were talking about it. You say, I'd like to be like, who was it? Wigglesworth, or which one was it? Raised 17 people from the dead. Was it Wigglesworth? One of the men there? Well, man, I'd like to do like Smith Wigglesworth. I'd like to be so dedicated to God. You're lying through your teeth. Now, you want me to prove you're lying through your teeth? But see, you'll get offended at me, and then you'll have your own little iniquity party. That's good. I haven't thought of it that way. All right? Do you know how you could raise 17 from the dead and be like Smith Wigglesworth? It's to do what Smith Wigglesworth done. Fall on your face, push your plate back, go to fasting and praying, crying out to God, and shut yourself off from the world, because I believe he was the one that wouldn't even read the newspaper. He was so shut off from the world, he wouldn't even read the newspaper. He probably thought that was a vulgar magazine. Do you understand what I'm getting at? If you want to do the works of Wigglesworth, do what Wigglesworth done. Push your plate back, fast and pray, quit your job, go home, go have nothing to do with nobody for 3 months and fast and pray. But you ain't going to do it. All right. So I prove that we're all liars when we say we'd like to do this or we'd like to do that. I've been reading on, as I said, on the Azusa Street Experience, and even the man, he done a wonderful job bringing out a thing. And he talked about the gifts and the great power of God that would fall in a congregation and no music, and they would just sing in heavenlies and do all things. But then he began to see it move away. And then he'd come back screaming against it. He could go out on a missionary trip. He'd come back and find the very church he'd left from had already begun to fall away. And you know what he said then? He realized that in every movement that God had ever brought, that not only would it bring great things, but he told of see, when Azusa Street happened in the 1906 Azusa Street, there was also a 1906 earthquake in California. He said, always destruction follows a revival, or goes right with it, you know, to try to deteriorate the revival. But he taught something else that was really amazing to me. He said the dying down of any revival means there's coming another. Now this is a man in the 1900s, see. But there's coming another. And they call the great Azusa Street the latter rain. So you know what the prophet said? He said, you say latter rain, latter rain. He said, nonsense. He said, you ain't had the former yet. And even he, as we were talking last night about it today, so even he thought in 1961 and 2 and on through there that he had done preached the seals, he thought it was all ready. But he didn't know that Malachi 4 wouldn't fulfill. But when he caught that, he set out for that. All right. The dying of a revival means another is coming. But once you return to original seed, there is nothing else to come. That's why I preach that message over and over about the that there's no more carriers. There's no more worldwide sweeping revivals. It's only the revival to the bride. And then the man, when he began to see them falling away, you know what he went back and said? He said, we put too much emphasis on the Holy Spirit. And said, we have left Jesus out of it. And he began to preach Jesus to the people that they'd left out of their experience. He got into trouble. He got kicked out of the places because that he had started. Because he said, you're leaving Jesus out. I say it this way. We're in the days of the quotes and the things of the prophet, of the claiming the message, but we've left Jesus out. The people are not pushing for Jesus in the church. They're pushing for quotes and more members and more doings. It's time to put Christ, which is the Word. Now you know then that I've never preached nothing else but that. So you can do what you want to with that statement and think how exalted it is. But you know yourself, when I preached Daniel 70 weeks in 73, now, I was preaching Jesus Christ just like I'm preaching Him right now. When I preached the seal, I didn't preach about the Antichrist being the revelation of the seal. I preached Jesus Christ was the revelation of the seal. So then you know that I know where I'm standing and what I've been looking at all the years, and now I see it. See? Because it's being made manifest. As Gabriel came to Daniel to show him these things would transpire to Israel, the Holy Spirit comes to the church in the end time by way of the prophet messenger to not tell us these things are going to come because they're still part of Israel. It's got to come later. The prophet never spoke of a later time. Jesus never spoke of a future. Sure he did. We know he prophesied and said things. Sure, Brother Branham told of going in times and all. But what was the basis of what he was saying? If you don't recognize where you are right now, tomorrow has no meaning whatsoever. The past has no meaning if you don't know where you are now. See, the Holy Spirit has come to us to not to condemn us, as I said about Israel. Gabriel didn't come down and say, now you bunch of rotten, stinking sinners, I want you to tell that to them. No, he said, Daniel, you go tell them. It's sure there's a time coming when God will finish their transgression. He'll make an end of their sin. He'll do all of those six things. But see, the Holy Ghost is not telling us, well, one day y'all going to get good enough to go in the rapture. That's not the Holy Spirit. As they used to preach back years ago, if we could get our wives lined up, you know, we'd be ready for the rapture. Well, I never did teach it that way. Because I always figured my wife was more lined up than I was. That's always been my thought. Because I know where I'm at and who I am. But listen, church. When Israel sees Jesus through the two witnesses, then it's revealed to them what God has already done. You understand what I'm saying? That's why I said I'd keep saying this over and over. God didn't come through Gabriel to tell how dirty they were. He came to tell them that it was done. As I said, Joseph, read that in the Daniel 70 week. Joseph never said, you're this, you're that, the other. He said, it's God done that. Alright? He comes to reveal what has already been done. The Holy Spirit didn't come to you in a new birth to condemn your sin. If it did, He'd had to wait later to give it to you. Do you understand? He come to save you, then your sins are gone. You know what I'm saying? Then you start doing it. It's like I've always taught you. You don't have anything to do with salvation. Salvation is of the Lord. But once you get saved, you got all to do with it. See, that's why it's so hard to get people to see. No, it's the Holy Ghost in me. I don't have nothing to do with it. Well, you ain't got nothing anyway. I noticed the other day I used that word ain't a whole lot. I'm glad they finally put it in the dictionary. But it'll be hard to interpret in another language. But all right. Now, is it not true that how God deals with the bride is to reveal? Now, is it not true that's how He deals with you and I, is to reveal? And He doesn't reveal how dirty you are. He reveals to you what He's already done. Then you can accept what He's done. See, we quote that a pardon is not a pardon unless received as a pardon. But you know, if there had never been a pardon, you couldn't accept a pardon. The man didn't write the pardon out. Abraham Lincoln signed it. He didn't write it out and say, go down there and tell that man. If he'll do so and so and so and so, I'll think about setting him free. Come on. He was free. Yet he stayed in jail. And he was killed the next day. That's our problem. We talk about the coming of the Lord. We talk about it's the revealing of His Word. But then we wonder what's going to take and make us better. We wonder what is going to, what we need is we need to, for something to come and just take away everything we got. Well, we'll never have no more trouble. We'll never have no more problems. Now, there's no such thing in the Bible. God Himself, the Lord Jesus Christ in human flesh, had problems. Right? Not within Himself. But the surroundings was His problem. Right? Now listen. I wrote a question. When did God finish Israel's transgression? He finished it at Calvary. All right? But He's coming to reveal it to them. That's what His coming is to do. When He stepped down through those two witnesses, He's not coming down there to condemn them like everything. He's coming down to tell them what Calvary done for them. Right. Well, see, then you see that most people do not know what the coming of the Lord is. Oh, yeah, we can quote, it's the revealing of His Word. We can quote, oh, it's the presence. Oh, we can quote, the Lord descended from heaven with a shout. We can quote all that. But you know, even the... what do you call it? The religious realm of the world. Somebody wrote a song. And they wrote the song that said, what sins are you talking about? You know, they caught something. If God says I'm free, why can't I say what I'm free? Yeah, but Brother Dale, I know what you done, know what you'll do tomorrow. Yeah, you do. Well then, if it's like that, I just go out and live like the devil. You prove you're lost. I tried to illustrate it that Wednesday night, you know. See, we're expecting God to come into our presence by a coming of the Lord, and that He's going to just stand there and just rip us to pieces. You know better. You just. And there's no such thing in the Bible. He's never done it before. The first word He brings is, fear not. He don't say, get us scared of what? Fear not. Well, Brother Dale, we just can't understand you because you sound like you just don't even believe in salvation, you know, like we believe it. I'll agree with you. Salvation is of the Lord. But you've got a lot to do with repentance and growth development and stuff in your life with the stature of a perfect man to receive virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kind. You have something to do with that. Well, then that would make salvation a work. No, 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 no. I'm trying to get you to see that that's when you do that out of love. You receive God's correctiveness out of love. It seems, no, we don't receive it that way. Brother Dale was upset when he said that to me. I could see him gritting his teeth. But see, God has never come to anybody to condemn. Show it to me in the Bible. Even the city of Nineveh, which was totally homosexual perversions and things, that's what messed Jonah up, wasn't it, him? Because he thought, man, I'm going to go down there and tell them all about how bad they were. And then I'm going back up here on the hill, sit down and watch God destroy them. Like Sister Johnny's telling us last night, that she'd take the book of Psalms, you know, and somebody do something to her. She'd go find a bad Psalms, you know, and she'd call their name. Their old Jesse, he's right. That's his Psalm right there. Lord, destroy him with his iniquity. I quoted the Bible. No, you quoted the Bible. You need to put your own self there instead. All right. Sure, we know that God finished our transgressions at Calvary, that our sin was made an end to. Sure, we know He made reconciliation for iniquity. Sure, He done that at Calvary. All right. But here is where He reveals Calvary. Martin Luther, the day he saw the just shall live by faith, was the day Calvary became a reality in the man's life. Right. Until then, he was only quoting a historical point. That's right. That could be argued of even whether it existed or not. You're expected to believe something you can't prove. History is so perverted, they taught us in school that George Washington couldn't lie. Well, I know it better than that then because he'd born one. But history can say what you want it to say. In the Quran and the thing, Muhammad was supposed to went over to that rock in Israel, went up through that rock and went to heaven. There's no record in history he was ever in Jerusalem. But yet they believe their history of it. The Catholics believe that Mary was resurrected the way Jesus was. But there's no way to prove that, is it? And we know it's not true. But they believe it. The only way you can know Jesus Christ ever lived is to have the experience of the new birth within your heart. Do you understand the setting I'm trying to make? The only way you can know Jesus Christ ever lived is have the experience of Christ in your heart. The only way you know Calvary ever existed. I've been there. I've been in a tomb. Brother Tatum's been there. Brother Dean's been there. Some of the others, maybe Brother Don back there, been in that tomb. That don't mean a thing to me in the respect of what is, oh, but Brother Branham said we've got an empty tomb. Well, I know that. And I believe that. I believe it's empty. But the only way I believe it's empty is not because I walked in and saw it empty. Because if I've got Christ in my heart, then I know for sure He come out of some grave. They may not have the right one. But I know He come out. Why? Because He's now alive.
That's right. Amen.
The See, I know my sins are gone. Why? Because He's alive in my heart. But see, we don't keep it in the right order. But to make reconciliation, now I hope I spent enough on iniquity, but to make reconciliation for iniquity. Now do you know what reconciliation is? How many of you ever looked it up? Reconciliation in the Old Testament is 3722, Strong's Concordance, I'm giving you these. Reconciliation means to cover. Means to cover. It means to coat. Yeah. Now, go all the way back and think. Now, I ain't got time to preach all of it, but go all the way back and think. It means to cover like pitch. Now, does that ring in your heart and your thoughts? See? Noah was to pitch the ark. Cover it. Right. See? It means to purge. See, that's what we basically deal with in our thoughts. We think of reconciliation, we think of purging or something. But it means to make an atonement. All right? Moses in the story knew the only thing that would save Israel because God had done told him, get out of the way, I'll kill every one of them. Right. Now whether this was before or after the time of saying that Brother Brown said, you know, where he said, you know, if you're going to take them, you got to get over me. It doesn't make any difference because it's both the same. All right. But see, Moses knew on his face before God, he knew he wasn't going to be destroyed. But he knew that it had worked before, that they were able to make an atonement. The original was with Moses, or saying, God, if you're going to destroy them, you got to come over me. He didn't get up with a censer and run around. But the man realized that if Christ one time told him what to do, Christ would tell him again. He falls on his face. God was going to have to come over him. But yet maybe in that instant that he realizes, hey, Christ come on the scene in his heart, his life, and he said, Aaron, take the censer and run among the people. Make an atonement for them. Make reconciliation for them. Make a covering, a coat for them. Make an atonement for them, Aaron. In the New Testament, reconciliation means atone, 26:43, or to reconciling. Reconciling, which means restoring. Reconciling, you know. Cover something, protect it. But don't just protect it, try to bring it back. Alright? Try to bring it to a position. Let's go to Ezekiel 45. I'm just trying to pick up a few scriptures to where you can see these. Try to get this covering, atonement, and the thing. Ezekiel 45:17. And it shall be the prince's part to give burnt offerings and meat offerings and drink offerings in the feast and in the new moons and in the Sabbaths and the solemnities of the house of Israel. He shall prepare the sin offering and the meat offering and the burnt offering and the peace offering to make reconciliation for the house of Israel. He is to do these things to make reconciliation. He is to do these things, the prince, you know. And we know we can take that all the way over to a prince as a son of God, so that was what Christ came to do. But he's talking about the priest. The priest is to make that part. All right? Now, Hebrews 2 and 7 says, 2 and 17. We can go down through 7, but come on down to 17. Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. That's what your high priest could do. That's why I've always told you that, like you say about Aaron was a high priest. We know that. But Moses built the equipment. Aaron never had anything to do with designing the altar. He didn't have anything to do with telling what atonements were to be made. He didn't have anything to do with... He just went in and done what he was told to do by who? Moses. Then who was the real high priest back there? Who was the one that Christ was in to tell God a better way to do? Wasn't it Aaron? You remember, he's the guy that made the golden plates, you know. Tried to chicken out of it later and said, I just took that gold and throwed it in the fire and I pulled it out and said, this calf come out. Well now, you know better than that. He was trying to save his dirty, stinking neck is the best way for me to say it. Because he was standing in the presence of God and a man. What was he going to do? But listen. The priest, the high priest back there, went in and made an offering atonement. He put a covering. Right? He made a coat. Which is what God done when Adam and Eve sinned. He made them a covering. He made an atonement. He made a coat for them. Alright? And see, when it was finished, what was he actually doing? He was purging them. Reconciliation, see, is purging. Making that atonement, making that. That's what Jesus Christ done. He died once for all to purge. To make the atonement. To cleanse us. To reconcile us. To God. See? Alright? And Corinthians, let's get over that and read that. 2 Corinthians 15. Now we're all made priests and kings. Is that the Bible? So when we read this, don't think about just the high priest, or don't think about Brother Branham, or don't just think about the preacher. 2 Corinthians 15:18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us... What now? In 2 Corinthians 5, I didn't read the, I got my one out there. 5. 1 Corinthians got 15. 5. Alright. 2 Corinthians 5. Alright. Alright. And all things are of God who hath reconciled us. Now, he's already done it. To himself by Jesus Christ. But now what has he done? He's reconciled us. That was Calvary. Right? But now he's going to make Calvary known through someone else. That way Calvary could be made known to Martin Luther the day he saw the just shall live by faith. Calvary was brought up 1,500 years to a present tense to him. All right? Now, what did he say now? And hath given to us, didn't say preachers, didn't say Brother Branham, to us, we're all priests and kings, according to Revelation about 5, I think it is. You sisters, what are you? You're priests. You children with a new birth, what are you? You're priests. You say, well, what do we got to offer? Ourselves? We've got something to offer. You said, priest's got to have something to offer. Well, offer yourself. That's what the Bible says. Right. But watch now. To wit, to understand that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, not bringing out their sin, but paying the price. Not coming on the day of Pentecost, all, every one of y'all now, y'all just a bunch of rotten sinners. No, it was the love of God that was going to be displayed. Now watch. And hath committed to us the word of reconciliation. To understand the word of reconciliation. Then he goes on and says, we are ambassadors. An ambassador can go to Russia today and give them every bomb we got in our arsenal. And they got to agree to it. I remember years ago when we had the Cold War, they promised Russia so much wheat, we had to empty our garners to give Russia the wheat because we promised it to them. That was good on feeding your enemy. Yeah. But it sure took us down. See? But listen, church, I'm trying to get you to see reconciliation for iniquity is something that somebody's got to bring to your attention. First that the iniquity's there, and then you realize it. See, if you don't realize there's any iniquity there, then you don't need no reconciliation. Right? You don't need a covering or anything like that. So in the message they're saying, I always was eternal, I never did sin, I've always been it, I've always was. Yeah. You got quotes of the prophet, but you're quoting the message. That is not a covering. Listen, church, do you realize what I'm doing as a pastor? You realize I'm trying my best to cover you, to keep God from killing you. I get in trouble. Well, I'm not about the trouble. I'm trying to cover you with the covering of the blood of Jesus Christ, which is the revealed word. I can't save you. Moses couldn't stop God from killing the ones that had already started in the plague. Come on, read your Bible. The plague had done started. In other words, it had done died. Moses said, don't worry about it. Aaron went out there. Moses, I guess we got to go bury the dead. No. He said, Aaron, don't fool with the dead. Let the dead bury the dead. Get your censer and go before God, between God and the people, and stand there. The Bible said he stood between the living and the dead. Now you think that's natural. My point is he stood between God and the dead people. But he stopped the plague. The plague was over here. Sure, he was between the living and the dead. He stood here and said, and God said, I'm not going to go no further. I'm not going any further. You made an atonement. You made reconciliation. And I'll stop right here. You know, I ain't going no further with you. I'm not going to do that. See? We are to tell the people of Calvary and speak of the original atonement. Not to kill Christ again. I keep quoting that and I figured I better put it on. Leviticus 16 is the mourning for the kill. Leviticus 23 and like 27 is a mourning backward for the kill that had already been. That's explained page 37, 38, Feast of the Trumpets by the prophet. One of them was a killing The other one was a mourning. That's why Moses messed up. He was to strike the rock. That meant Calvary to pay the price. But when he smote the rock the second time, Brother Branham said it broke every type in the Bible and set up a denomination, showing that Jesus Christ would have to be crucified again in the end time. Not in the human body, but in the body of Christ he would be crucified. Showing that that was wrong. See, in our iniquity, which is knowing to do good and won't do it, we get away from the original atonement. And Brother Brown is explaining that's what that was. He said they had got away from the original atonement, read Feast of the Trumpet, they had got away from the original atonement, Israel has rejected the atonement, so then one day they're going to have to be made known about the atonement and they'll come to see it. He said, and we, go read the book, we Gentiles, it must be made known of the original atonement. Not to try to kill him again, but be made known. That's what Moses should have done. Went and spoke of the original. Now that wasn't the type of Christ when he smote the rock the second time. That was his own doing. Alright? Now listen. See, our iniquity, we have gotten away from God. God comes to reveal the original atonement. That's reconciliation. Or reconciling. Do you realize that when those people said, Brother Branham, if you hadn't have come, now what was they saying? Now wasn't that what happened beyond the curtain of time? Didn't they tell him, if you hadn't have come? Now according to my Bible, and what the prophet said about it, the Bible says in Malachi, if he hadn't have come, what was going to happen? The earth would be burned with a curse. What was that prophet doing then? Standing like Moses, that had Christ in his heart, that could hold off the wrath of Almighty God, and even speak in the first person to forgive our sins. He made reconciliation for us. And he's trying to close us with the word, which is like I said about Noah pitched the ark inside and out. That's what preserved the people. The prophet is trying to close us with the gospel. To make a covering for you and I. To make reconciliation. Here I got it wrote again, see, because I don't want you to miss it. The coming of Gabriel to Daniel was not to condemn, but to show like Joseph did to his brethren that their sin or transgressions or iniquity was gone. Read Zechariah 13:1. It says, for the sins and uncleanness. See, in the second coming of the Lord, in the bride coming of Christ, he's not coming to condemn, but he's coming to reveal. And we say he has already descended, so then we've got the message to reveal. We're not expecting someone else to come to reveal. It's the Holy Spirit that is to reveal. Because the Holy Spirit is the original atonement that was made for you. See, the coming of the Lord is the revealing of His Word. By the opening of those seven seals, the entire Word of God has come down, listen now, to make a covering for you and I. The Word has come down to be a token for you and I. It's come down to be an atonement for you and me. Now you go read Greer's Magazine or Greer's Almanac and don't read the Message. You find out how to grow beans. but you know nothing about the gospel. The gospel, the Bible says, is the power of God unto salvation, because you know what the gospel is? It's an actual covering for you. I'm pastor of this church. All I can do is try to cover the church with the blood, which is the word. Because that's the only thing he's coming back after. Now watch what I'm saying, and I'll finish with this statement. You see why that most ministers, all they're doing, most preachers in this message, is beating the people instead of speaking of the original. Now, did you get the connection? Moses smoked a rock. Sure, they're preaching about Calvary. Sure, they're talking about how great salvation is. Sure, they're talking about the message of the hour unto us, but is it a smiting of the rock again? Or is it speaking of the original atonement, which is the revealed word? Now, you cover that and you answer it. See, we are to cover by and make an atonement the bride with the word. There's your reconciliation. And that's the only thing that'll do away with your iniquity. See, like Moses telling Aaron to go stand between God and the people and to make an atonement. See? That's what I'm trying to do this day, is stand between the living and the dead. And to preach the gospel to you, that is the power of salvation, if you believe it. Right. But Brother Brown said it's so hard to get the people to stand still long enough to be able to clothe them. Wasn't that what he said? Right. It's hard to get the people to put on the clothes you're giving. Now listen, Moses knew how to get in touch with God. And he knew what would cover the people. So he said, Aaron, grab your censer. Go get called off the altar. Run between the people. Bring your incense and your things. Go stand there. Said, make an atonement. God just stopped what he was doing. Said, I won't go no further. He stood between the living and the dead. Any true minister of the gospel, and I told you and explained it there a moment ago, that even you sisters have that part of the ministry too, of reconciliation. You're not preachers in the pulpit. You're preachers in your home. You're preachers to your family. Like we were talking there last night, Brother Branham one time said, Meaty said something to Brother Branham. She wound up with a growth on her, didn't she? Right? But then one day she turned to him and said, Bill, you lied. She didn't get no growth. Come on, you remember the tax case? Bill, you lied. She didn't get no growth out of that. She told him one day, said, Bill, he said, there's only three men come out, great men come out of Kentucky. And he named Abraham Lincoln and so and so, whoever it was, come out of Kentucky. And he said, and Bill Branham. She said, Bill, that's not right. She didn't get a growth out of that. See, the way people are in this message, if their wife says anything to them, you're speaking against me, I'm the head of the house. Well, if the head of the house just done what the wife said he done, whose trouble is it? Come on, whose trouble is it if the head of the house just done what the wife of the house said? Whose trouble is it? The head of the house. But we say, you speak against me, you're speaking against my ministry. If I go out today and commit adultery, you can tell the world I committed adultery. God won't hold that against you, none whatsoever. because you're telling the truth. I killed my ministry. You're not killing it. I killed it. But if you go tell I done something I didn't do, now that's between you and God. You'll have the problem. But you understand what I'm saying? Brother Branham had to make an atonement for his wife. Now the greatest gift of all in the world to exist in the days and life of William Branham, for God to be able to speak the word through a man, but he couldn't speak that off of his wife. He couldn't pray it off. How long do you think the man fasted and prayed about that situation? It was dark for years that they knew about it. But one day he come in and he said, "Let it be, Lord, that when they start to touch her, it's all gone." What had he done? He had interceded with God. Prayer is intercessory. Prayer changes things. But talk don't change nothing. Prayer changes. I mean, like I've always told you about the children there, the 42, you know, that the she-bears came out and eat up. You know where they got what they're saying? "Go up, old bald head." They sat around and listened to mom and daddy talking at the table. "Old bald head. Who's he think he is telling us?" Are we trying to uplift or destroy? Are we trying to reconcile through revealing the atonement? Are we trying to beat people into the truth? Come on, brother. Which one is it? Come on, musician. Which one is it? To make reconciliation for iniquity. And I'll say it one more time. He doesn't come to reveal how bad we are. If he's here today, and you say and believe he's here, see, I know and believe he's here. I know where it's at. That's no problem. I'm like Richard Wilson. You know, you say, the man did to Brother Woodby one time, you know, said, "The Lord's come." Brother Woodby asked me, "Where's he at? Did he come out there in the field?" You know, he had a truth to it. But see, I'm not telling you that he's out there in the field. I know where he's at. He's in the Word. Listen, let you say what you want to. He's in the Word that I've preached unto you that's back there on tape. He's in the Word that I preached to you, which is back there on tape, if you can believe it. That's the coming of the Lord, because that's what the prophet would tell you if he was here today. The Lord descends from heaven with a shout. What's that, Brother Brown? That's my message. Where's the Lord at? He's in my message. If you can believe it. See, that's the coming of the Lord. Do you understand? The coming of the Lord is not to come in. If he's come, then our iniquities are gone. Our sin is done. Reconciliation has been made for us. Let's speak of the reconciliation of the original atonement of Calvary. And try to get people to Christ. Not to a doctrine, although that's good, but to a revelation of the original. Let's go ahead, let's sing.
That's number 272 in the red book.
272 in the red book. Anybody has a need?
"I have left the land of bondage with my earthly treasure. I've journeyed to a place where there is love on every hand. I've exchanged a
land of heartaches for a land of pleasure. I'm camping. Anybody have a need? Happy land. Every day I'm camping. Are you? And with rapture I survey the wondrous beauty grand. Glory, hallelujah. I found the land of promise. I'm camping.
Happy land.
I see reconciliation.
Out of Egypt I have traveled
That's why I listen to the preachers, because through the preached word do I come to realize my atonement. They're not talking about a real true minister, talking about what he sees in his own life. Others are not shepherds of sheep, and they ain't no real true shepherds. They're shepherds of mules and donkeys and things. They're not speaking of the original atonement. They're trying to get you to see something in themselves. I don't want you to see something in me. I want you to see something in you. Because there'll come a time you need something personal. You won't be able to get a hold of me. You got to have it yourself. I'm camping in the land of Canaan. Wondrous beauty grand. Glory, hallelujah. I found the land of promise. I'm camping in Canaan. Happy land. Sing that last verse again. Yes, I've reached the land of promise with its scenes of glory. My journey, where did it end? My journey is ending right here. My journey is ending right here today. In the Word of God.
Every day I'm camping.
And every day I'm camping in this.
I
only have one thing to bring to you. Christ.
Glory, hallelujah, I found the man.
Jesus Christ revealed in His Word is the atonement for you.
Every day I'm camping
in the land of Canaan, and with rapture I survey
the beauty grand.
Glory, hallelujah, I found the land of promise. I'm camping in Canaan, happy land. Amen. Let's just think about Him. Think of what He's done for me in your church.
Heavenly Father, I am free. She ain't you.
I've always said it and tried to be honest.
I love you.
If most people had preached what I've tried my best to preach,
yes,
you couldn't get their head in the building to be so big. But it's always put me down. When He reveals something to me, that I go down instead of up. But I realize that unless He reveals it, what good is it? I preached many things people didn't understand, but I done the best I could do to talk about Jesus. Well, that's all I'm trying to bring is a covering to you is Jesus Christ. The covering is the Word of God. Dress yourself in the Word. Take the shield of faith, the breastplate, the helmet of salvation. Take that and clothe yourself. Let's just pray together and go downstairs and eat together and have a little time of fellowship now. I want everybody to have a good time and stay, you know, and all. And we'll have a, as I said, just make sure you get you a hamburger and a hot dog, and then you come back and get the rest of what you want. But, you know, that way we're trying to figure out their sisters have to where they've got enough food to pass around and all like that. So we appreciate it. Appreciate all the sisters and the brothers, what they've done of the food they've cooked and made and done and bought and everything else to bring to where that we could have a good time last night and then have enough to eat today. So we appreciate it. Right. You just pray one for another, but think about an atonement. This message is my atonement.
Right.
I'm not talking about taking a book before God.
Come on.
This message is Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Hold that before God and watch Him honor what He should do.
Right.
You'll see. Father, we thank You for Your love and Your grace unto us. We thank You for Calvary. We thank You for saving our souls. But here in the end time, it's come to a place of a reality of Calvary in our hearts and lives to be a present tense form, not to be something in the past. Because we can only exist off the Word that is fed to us daily. And we cannot hold it over to try to have a meal for another day. So give us this day our daily bread. Guide each and every one, Lord. Let Your Word, which is a bleeding Word for each and every one of us, be a covering for our sins. Guide each one now in Jesus' name. Sanctify the food, Lord, as we eat together. Just have Your way. In the lovely name of Jesus, You're dismissed.